Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
You'll be set. You don't want to be outdone by animals, do you? For animals to hear God tell them to do something, they do it. Well, man, I feel like I'm getting whipped on that. Well, pay attention. Okay. God shows us that he knows how to guide even animals to his will. If God can even guide animals to his will, what about you and me? What about us? Shouldn't he be guiding us in his will too? Well, I don't know how to hear from the Lord. The animals heard. You saying animals are better than you? We're the pinnacle of God's creation. We should be able to hear from the Lord God. But just look at this. And there's this other verse that always gets me, is how after they entered the ark, it says the Lord shut them inside. The Lord closed the door. This is kind of like the Lord God sealing the deal on his plan. I said this was going to happen. I told you to build it. You did. Good for you. You listened. Now here's the flood. You get to come in. Come on in. I found you righteous because you listened to me. And then he sealed the deal. He closed the door. God is sealing the deal in his plan. This is God's work. This is the Lord God executing his plan of salvation for Noah. Friends, I want you to understand, the Lord God sealed the deal on your salvation. The question is, have you accepted it yet? Have you responded to his, come in, you get to come in? Or did you say, no, I don't need you right now. I've got better things to do. This is the Lord God executing his plan of salvation while at the same time executing his plan of judgment on the unrighteous. Friends, I'll tell you, there's two sides of God. He's a just God. He loves you and he wants to save you, but he's not going to put up with our sin for very long. He's giving you the opportunity to get on board the ark of salvation. It's your decision if you're going to be led to get on or not. But once he shuts that door, that's it. But you got the opportunity now to get on. Let's read along. Genesis 7:17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. This is why I say it wasn't localized. It was worldwide. Verse 20. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward. And the mountains were covered. This means it was at least 15 cubits above the tallest mountains there are. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Friends, this is God did this. All flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. I want you to read that again, verse 22. Does it say most that was on the dry land died? Does it say 99.9%? It says all of them. This is God did this. They all died. So what God said back in Genesis 6 actually happened. And I want you to look at what he said was coming. God warned in Genesis 6:13. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was not mysterious about this warning. He was clear cut as could be for us all to understand. He spoke directly to Noah, and over 100 years before God brought it to happen, he said, this flood is coming. And when God says it's coming, it's coming. Okay? God warned of a coming judgment. He gave people plenty of time to repent and get right with him. He gave them more than enough time to get right. But now here it was, just as he said it would. There's some people I'm talking to now. You're hearing me. You kind of don't want to listen, but you have to because I'm in your ear. You might be hearing me on the radio right now. You might be hearing me through YouTube or whatever. You have been wrestling with this God thing. You've been kicking it off and dismissing it as just religion. But now you're starting to understand God is real. He's got judgment against our sin. He's not going to tolerate it. A day's coming when we're going to have to answer for it. And you haven't really given your life to the Lord yet because you're just playing. You're messing around with other goofy things and you haven't gotten serious about the Lord. You need to listen. It's coming. And you don't want to be caught with the boat door shut where you can't get on. He gave them plenty of time. You're still alive today because God's giving you plenty of time. What are you waiting on? Well, I got plenty more time. Who says you have more time? He's given them enough time. But now here it was. Floodwaters here, just like he said it would. Sin makes God exceedingly mad. You are not stronger than God. You are not going to win. He's going to win. Get right with the Lord while you can. Genesis 7:23. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. They're gone, guys. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Okay, so it only rained for 40 days, but there could have been continual water upheaval for after the 40 days ended. But whether that happened or not, we do know that the water did not drain after the 40 days ended. After it was over, it didn't start seeping down. It stayed there for 150 days after the rain stopped. I remember when we got hit with that big flood, that, what was it called, Harvey, and it flooded everybody everywhere. The whole city of Alvin finally drained off except my neighborhood. It stayed up, and it didn't go anywhere. I've kind of felt like this. 150 days, it's still here. There were people coming in canoes that went to like Carrabba's and Olive Garden and all that. They were coming with these big old things of food, just rowing, and say, y'all want some? And we're like, yeah, we can't leave, you know. But it just stayed there. Of course, the city has fixed it since then, but it just stayed there. Guys, it didn't just rain for 40, okay, back down. God held it there for 150 days. He's going to make sure everything is dead beyond dead beyond dead, buried beyond buried. Friends, I'm letting you know there's a coming judgment. It's not going to be a flood. It's a spiritual judgment where God is going to condemn those who tell him no. And those that say no, they're going to be condemned. They're going to be buried beyond buried and dead beyond dead. The Bible calls hell the second death. You don't want this. Please hear me. Now, I once saw a stupid movie about Noah's Ark. And in this movie, there were some bad guys. Of course, you got to have your drama in the movies. They built their own small little boat, and in the movie, they survived the flood. And Noah's Ark is out there floating. Here come these bad guys, these little pirate dudes, and it's like they tried to attack them. Now we have a pirate movie, right? But just before they attacked them, a tornado came and sucked them up. I'm like, okay, I don't remember reading that in the book. It's not in there, so these crazy movies are just, I don't know what's up with them. It's ridiculous. Maybe the CGI guys needed more work that week, or hey, can we put a tornado in here? Yeah, let's do that. So, but then later, this other guy, played by the actor James Coburn, if y'all know James Coburn, in the movie, while Noah was building, he was a friend to them. He was a salesman. He sold a lot of different things. Well, he built his own boat, too. Now, after the tornado got the other guys, apparently James Coburn's the nice guy. No tornado came to get him. But he pulls up to the ark with his little store boat that he had. And he had pots and pans and stuff. And he says, hey, I've got pots and pans so you can cook with. And I remember Mrs. Noah's like, oh, that'd be so great. And I'm just laughing. What is this? And so what's funnier than that is after James Coburn sold them some products, then he floated away. And I remember yelling at the TV, where are you going? These are your only customers. They're your only business. Go back. Friends, never trust movies as your source of biblical information. Get in the book. I've talked to people about, you know, Jesus. Yeah, I've seen The Passion. Guys, have you read the Bible? No. I saw The Greatest Story Ever Told. Okay, great. But we got people calling themselves Christian. They're not reading the book. And when you read the book, you find out that God is angry against sin, he's going to judge it, and we got to respond to that. Okay, read the Bible for yourself. Movies are full of nonsense. So we read in verse 23, only Noah and those with him in the ark survived it. Everybody else died. I want y'all to catch this. Everyone died. There were no pirates sucked up by tornadoes. There were no James Coburn pots and pans salesmen that showed up and survived. God got them all. He said he would judge sin, and he did exactly as he said he would. Now, I want to tell you about another judgment that's coming. Okay, great for Noah's Ark. That was a long time ago. We're today, Ray. This is, should be relevant to today. I'm about to make it real relevant real quick. There's a judgment that's coming. God said it's going to come. And so, determining by God's track record of actually doing what he says he's going to do, you'd better believe it's actually going to happen. This future judgment will come, and you need to know about it. Matthew 25 and 31 says, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will say also to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Imagine getting thrown in a fiery lake where Satan himself and his angels are at. That's not going to be a fun time at all. I remember giving the gospel to a guy. He said, well, you know what? If I'm going to hell, at least I'm going where all my friends are at. And Anna leaned forward. She goes, you're not going to have any friends in hell. This is bad. This is a judgment that's coming. And you can see how some people were differentiated from others, set into two different categories. Okay, well, why were some people set to be condemned and some set to be saved? Well, I want us to consider how there were two different categories of animals, some that were clean and some animals that were unclean. The clean animals, as I explained, they were designated for Israel's holiness, while the unclean animals were not designated for holiness at all. Those who are going to be saved are those who are going to be designated as holy. Friend, if you want to be saved, you need to be set and designated as holy. Okay, great. Well, how do I get set as holy? 1 Peter 1:15 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holy means set apart. Holy means you're different. Well, I don't want to be different. I want to be like everybody else. You know, Christian, you got to be different. You got to be the way the Lord tells you. So what is there that sets us in one category or the other of being clean or unclean? Ray, how can I be made holy so that I'm with the sheep people? How am I made holy? I'm going to read you Hebrews 10 verse 10 from the Amplified Bible. Says, and in accordance with this will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been sanctified, that is, set apart as holy for God and his purposes. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, once for all. So how can you be made holy? You can be made holy through Jesus Christ. He died a death penalty that you and I were supposed to pay ourselves. We were spiritually broke. We had not enough spiritual currency to buy our way out of the mess we got ourselves into. But Jesus came and paid it for you so that you don't have to pay it yourself. We don't have the righteousness to pay it ourselves. But remember how the Lord found Noah to be righteous only. It wasn't because Noah had his own righteousness. It was all because Noah and his family found God worthy of obeying. That's the righteousness. John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Jesus said, if anybody really loves me, he's going to do what I tell him. It's a lot of people saying, yeah, I love Jesus just fine, just because I'm not doing what he tells me all the time. You just violated what Jesus said. Jesus says, no, if you love me for real, you will do what I tell you. Noah was found righteous, not because he had his own righteousness, but because he did what God said. He obeyed the Lord. And then that was outward proof that Noah loved God. And so the Lord came to Noah and said, let's make a home. I'm going to make a home with you. Come and get on board. You can come with us. Friends, there's another big judgment coming in the future, and it's going to be even bigger than what this flood was that we just read about. It's going to be worse. It's going to be more terrifying. And if you want to escape it, if you want to be regarded as clean and set aside for salvation, you need to believe in Jesus as your Lord. Lord means he's the boss and you're not in control anymore. There are multitudes of people today, they say they're a Christian. They have no idea what God's word says because they don't read it. Their impression of God is a pirate pots and pans theology they got out of Hollywood movies. And it's messed up theology. If Jesus is your Lord for real, you will make it your very life's pursuit to actually do what he tells you to do. That is proof that you truly love the Lord God. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Those who believe in the Lord and obey him, they will do what he says, even if what God tells you to do seems ridiculous. You're going to build a blah, blah, blah. Where? On the land? That's stupid. Well, call it stupid now, but you ain't going to find it stupid later when the Lord brings what he's going to bring. Noah built, he obeyed. Friends, when the Lord called me to ministry, for full-time ministry, I had to leave my career of 20 years. People said it was absolutely ridiculous to quit my job, to quit all the title I had, all the pay, and the benefits that I had, but God said it, so I did it. Even though it made no sense to anybody else, I did it anyway. So why did I do it? Because Jesus is my Lord, and he told me to do it. God told Noah to build an ark for 100 years. And they worked, and they endured people's ridicule. What people thought was a stupid idea, they chose to obey the Lord God regardless of what everybody thought about them. Christian, I want you to tell you, as long as you're doing what God says, you don't worry about what everybody thinks about you. They call you names, they say you're weird. Who cares? You know what's coming, they don't. You're trying to be right, you're trying to do what God says. I want you to remember, we read that the sheep of this flock will be placed at his right hand. In the ancient days, if somebody was put at somebody's right hand, that was a position of dignity, and it was a position of authority to be placed at someone's right hand. So the idea here is that all those who have been made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, they will be made clean, they will be made holy, and they will be given a place of honor with the Lord God in his kingdom when he says, you get to come, you get to come. And I'm not worthy at all of the Lord God inviting me into his presence. I am such a sinner. I should not be going into his presence at all. But friends, I also want you to know that Noah was given one way to escape the judgment. Just one way. He said, build an ark. He didn't say, okay, you got two choices, build an ark or a helicopter. He said one thing, build an ark. That's it. Friends, you have been given one way, a way. Be glad you've been given a way to escape the eternal judgment of the unholy, but it is just one way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get there by being good enough. You have to get there only through Jesus Christ. Friends, if God knows how to draw people into the ark, if God knows how to draw animals into the ark for salvation, then certainly God knows how to draw you. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Friends, don't miss your chance to be saved by Jesus. If you're breathing today, it's because God is giving you permission to breathe, because he's waiting for you to finally give him your life. You may not have found him worth obeying before, but he is being exceedingly patient with you, waiting for you to turn your life over to him and start doing things his way, and watch the change he does. He will do it. He's waited long. Judgment's coming. Don't miss the boat. It's time to make a decision. Here's how you do it. Pray with me. Father God, I have sinned. I have sinned bad. And I'm sorry. I can't fix the damage I've done. And I know you have anger against my sin. So Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it over to you. You said I could come, that I could come in. You invited me. So even though it's a mess I've been, I give it all to you. I will turn it over to you. Take it, Lord God. Take my sin, take my shame, take my pain, take all of it. I give it to you. I make you Lord. You are now the boss. I will now do what you tell me to do. And forgive me, Lord, of the things I have committed against you, and change me and save me. Take my life. I give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it for real, you just got saved right where you are today, right now. Luke 22:14 says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Let's take this drink to remember what the Lord God has done for us. He spilled his blood for us, guys. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. He shed his blood for you. It took blood to wash death away. He had his body broken for us so that we don't have to be condemned. Let's take this to remember what he's done for us. Father, thank you. I can't say thank you enough. Lord, I pray that somebody heard this today. Somebody somewhere heard this and they got saved for real. Bless them, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I've said enough, Lord. I'll let your word do the rest. I'm done. I did my best. Lord, you take over and you do the things I can't do in them. Draw your people to Jesus in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm about to turn your people loose today. They're going to go out with some fire they didn't have before. They're going to come out, some of them changed, some of them renewed. They're going to go to people that think, what happened to you? You look weird, man. It looks ridiculous to me, but you're going to say, yeah, but my Lord God gave it to me. Lord God said I could come. They're going to say, well, you don't look right to us anymore. Well, you know what? If I look holy, then praise God for it, and you need to come with me. He says, come. He says, you can come too. Friends, go out and give your friends the invitation that you were given today. Draw them in. This is a boat you don't want to miss. Father, thank you for your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name that your people go out with boldness to tell others what they've heard today. Judgment's coming. And it's not that you're unfair, it's that you're just. Your wrath against our sin is just. But you're also gracious in that you forgave us and you gave us away and you said, come, you get to come in. Lord, I take you up on that. I'm coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to get me. You didn't have to, but you did. Thank you. You could have chosen, no, you blew it, you messed up, too bad for you, you're gone. But no, you said, you know what, I love you, I'm going to come get you. Thank you for coming to get me. Lord, I pray for any tough nuts to crack. They've heard this and they're still wrestling with it. Lord, you break through to them. I can't do it. Lord, you do it. It's your work. Thank you, Father, for getting after them as you got after me. You didn't leave me behind. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for being here. You are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you. Do you believe it? Then let's go live it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for